the proverbial place really is freezing over. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, my Vice Chairman of the Institute, fellow analyst, and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And we're avoiding all those Skype problems, those technical problems we run into sometimes when we have to do this by Skype and one of us has a bad connection, by looking at each other in the eye across the studio table.
That's right. We are here in the expansive studio of the Institute for Principled Policy's North Office, in other words, Chuck's study, across our wildly expensive faux granite plastic Sam's Club table.
That's right, my $28 technical room table.
There you go. See, we try to be economical in this program. Chuck, we've just come through a weekend with some sub-freezing temperatures, a little bit of that white stuff on the ground. We're in the middle of February, so it must be global warming.
Well, Barry, you know, I've been on this planet. I'll be 55 here in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. I'd rather forget it. But that means I've seen 55 winters. Anyone who tells you that there's such a thing as an average winter and that we need to hit on that average every year is pulling your leg or is very young. Because those of us who have a few winters under our belt know there is no such thing as an average winter, especially in Ohio. I know what they look like in Michigan. I lived there for 11 years through some of the period of quote-unquote global warming. When, for instance, Christmas Eve, we go to bed and they tell us we're not going to have a white Christmas. Gee, we're sorry. And we wake up in the morning and there is 2 feet of snow on the ground, which happened to me when I lived in Michigan.
Well, I can understand that.
And literally, there were 2 feet. I had to call my neighbor to come blow my 75-foot-long driveway out with his big blower. There is no such thing as an average winter. And this is so embarrassing to the other side of the global warming debate or the climate change debate. Barry, one thing we know, that is one of those words that, as we've talked about, fallacies in the past.
Yes.
Climate change is so easy to use as a propaganda tool. It's a loaded term, what we call a loaded term. And that's because the climate is always changing.
That's right, because the climate's not just the weather.
That's right.
It's everything that makes up what happens in the weather. But you know, right, you're right, Chuck. It is a loaded term, but the even more loaded term was the one that they were using before, global warming.
Yes.
Because they were having a lot of trouble getting that to stick. As a matter of fact, if we remember, and folks, if you remember back, if you remember seeing the news, it seemed like every year that they went to hold one of these international global warming conferences, wherever they picked to do this, there would be one of the record snowfalls and low temperatures the weekend of the conference that they were in. I remember they were in St. Louis one time here a few years back, and St. Louis ended up with some of the deepest freeze that they had ever had during a global warming conference.
Well, you and I were just joking today at lunch about the fact that we normally, every couple of years, we go out to a conference in St. Louis at the end of January, and it never fails. The week before we get there, it'll be in the 40s and 50s, and the week that we get there, it's zero.
Or worse.
Or worse. And it's so some of the worst winter weather they've had, you know, in weeks. And I think the last time we went, we were joking because we get there and we're like taking our jackets off in the car. And the next morning we get up and it's 9 degrees and the heater doesn't work in the rental car that we took.
Yeah, we've had some adventures, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. But you know what, Chuck? You know, we're looking at this at these loaded terms, and they use the term climate change because, well, you can almost get away with murder when you use the term climate change because very few people really understand what they're trying to say. Big problem is, it isn't the things that you don't know. It's the things you know that just ain't so that's the real problem. It isn't the problem with the people not knowing the term. It's the problem with the experts hanging on to a presupposition when the data that's being put in their face is proving otherwise. And that's what I talked about when we did the bump into the program today. I apologize to people if you thought I'm talking about hell freezing over. It's even worse for the climatologists. The Himalayas are freezing over.
That's right.
And that's the that's the proverbial place where it actually is freezing over right now. That's a big problem for them because, you see, climate change experts, and I hate using that term, have been utilizing the quote-unquote fact, and I put that in the little squigglies, the quotes, the fact that from the Himalayas, and that's the stretch of mountains over in India, Tibet, into China, that there's been massive amounts of meltwater, is what they call it. The Himalayan glaciers are melting because of climate change. Not global warming, climate change. To the tune of 50 billion, with a B, billion tons. And I think they mean metric tons, so I'm not sure exactly what the calculation is on that. Metric tons a year of meltwater running off the mountains, which is not being replaced, according to these scientists, by snowfall. Because that's how a glacier builds up. Snow falls, gets packed down, the weight of it packs the stuff below it, it freezes into ice, and the glacier builds. And then you have some melt and runoff, and some of it, as it moves a little bit, gradually goes lower and lower into a different climate zone, it starts melting off. Well, they're saying, and they've been pointing to this as one of the irrefutable facts of that climate change is happening, global warming is happening, and that we need to change all of our governmental policies and the way we live, and you need to get rid of your incandescent light bulbs, and you need to get rid of your gas guzzler cars and your carbon footprints. Matter of fact, we need to get rid of you because you are a carbon footprint sooner or later because it's all about the environment,
stupid. Yeah, high sulfur coal, all that stuff.
Everything.
Yeah, now I did a quickie calculation, and they're claiming that it's 1.2 times 10 to the 13th gallons, and that 13th thing, we're
it's
into the
13 zeros.
I'm trying to remember what number we're in the quadrillion
of
gallons
of water that they're saying is running off and not being replaced. And so the global warming experts, excuse me, the climate change experts, have been pointing to this now for the last decade, saying, "See, look, we're right. This is a problem. We got to get on top of it." Well, Chuck, they're stunned. Stunned, I tell you.
Yes.
By new data that's come out because, you see, somebody got smart and decided to use satellites to look in a longitudinal period, and they did this over the last 8 years. They took satellite photos of every glacial mountain range on the face of the planet, and they've taken series of these. What are they finding? There's no significant change in the volume of the glaciers in the Himalayas. In other words, yes, there may be some water running off of it, but it is being replaced by the snow. So either these climate change experts have missed something, or they're being driven by a particular agenda and they don't want the facts to guide them. They want to manipulate the facts to guide you and me, ladies and gentlemen, to a preconceived end, a pre-planned finale, where we basically say, because the environment's changing radically, you have to change radically along with it.
And that's part of the reason we spent 4 days talking about presuppositions last week.
Right.
Because what's happening is the presupposition is that there is global warming and that all the glaciers are shrinking. Don't confuse me with facts, because I know it's happening. And if the data shows that it's not happening, then the data is wrong. This is one of those places where someone who has a presupposition that has been proven wrong essentially decides to give up rationality rather than surrender their presupposition. And don't kid yourself, this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, whether you think you have or not, you've run into this. You present people with a fact and you still cannot convince them. They will rationalize it some other way. This is exactly what's happened. You have gouged away at the presupposition of their argument, and therefore they will do anything they can to hold on to that presupposition.
Oh,
they're invested in it.
They absolutely will. And Chuck, in this article that we pulled this information from, was from the Guardian newspaper in Great Britain, guardian.co.uk. If you want to go online, you can look it up. The article is titled, "The Himalayas and Nearby Peaks Have Lost No Ice in the Past 10 Years, Study Shows." They did some interviews with some of these various scientists. Now, glaciologist Professor Jonathan Bamber from Bristol University, I think, was probably one of the most transparent of the folks that they interviewed, because he basically said the very unexpected result, and obviously, this doesn't meet our preconceived notion. This data is outside of it's an outlier. This very unexpected result was the negligible mass loss from high mountain Asia. And I love this phrase, Chuck. I want to put this thing up. I want to put this thing up on our website as a quote of the year. And it is, and then he says that the unexpected result was a negligible mass loss from high mountain Asia, quote, "which is not significantly different than zero."
Yes.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who didn't study advanced grammar in school, when you use a phrase "not significantly different than something," you mean that it's almost exactly the same as.
Yes.
So,
in fact, This is a disingenuous way of saying exactly the same as, because what he means is there's no change.
There's absolutely no change, zero change. And over the last decade, now, while these climate change scientists have been pointing to this as irrefutable proof that they're right and you need to follow what they're going to tell you to do, the data is showing something totally different. Now, again, like I said, Bamber's probably one of the most honest of the group by saying that, even though he tries to use what I call weasel words to get around saying,
yes,
okay, there's no change. Even worse is Professor John Ware of the University of Colorado, because he shows that he's philosophically committed to his religious presupposition in this.
And there, it is a religious presupposition.
It's totally is. And he says,
this is environmental. This is why when a lot of Christians will look at me cross-eyed when I say that environmentalism is a religious belief, this is why.
It is. And honestly, this one quote from Professor Ware of the University of Colorado is a great little example of how to do fallacy detective 101.
Yes.
You know, we talked to you about this on this program in the past about how to engage logical fallacies. I'm going to read you this, and I'm going to point out to you the logical fallacies he's using. And he says, and I quote, "Our results and those of everyone else." Now, right there's a logical fallacy. That's what's called a part-the-whole fallacy, because he's saying our results are different than the satellite data. So our results and everyone else.
It's also a bandwagon fallacy.
And it's a bandwagon fallacy. So there's it doesn't have to just be one. It can be multiples. But when you check, you're right, it is bandwagon. "Our results and those of everyone else show we are losing a huge amount of water into the oceans every year." That'd be fine if he stopped right there. He decides to go on and add to it and throws in another fallacy. And he says, quote, "People should be just as worried." Ah, there's an appeal to fear, Chuck.
Yes.
"Should be just as worried about the melting of the world's ice as they were before." In other words, we've got to keep the general population in a state of panic over this. So we cannot admit that we were wrong.
Well, the idea is that you have to keep the scare up. To put it in the words of Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was a Confederate cavalry general, keep the scare up. And the reason you do that is because when people are scared, they don't think critically.
You're right.
They're panicked into doing something now. And that's the whole idea behind the whole climate thing. We've got to do it now. What's significant here, I think, is the fact that when you said not significantly different from zero as a weasel word, this is a major news outlet. They got what it meant. Because if you read that headline, the headline says, "The Himalayas and nearby peaks have lost no ice in the past 10 years. In other words, not significantly different from zero.
Zero is none.
It means zero.
That's right. They picked up on it. But, you know, according to these panic scientists in the climate change industry, the Himalayan glaciers are supposed to be disappearing by 2035 or 2350 if you look at other projections. Again, they are basically cherry picking and saying it isn't what we don't know. It's what we know that just ain't so, that we're going to hold on to desperately because it supports our presuppositions, our naturalistic, rational worldview. That's what they're after. And even so, Professor Bamber, and I want to quote one of the things he said too, because even he hangs on to this. At the very end of this article, after he talks about this whole idea, and it's saying that the data that these satellites came up with about the glacier melt is the most reliable estimate of global glacier mass balance that has been produced to date. So in other words, he's admitting this is the best data we've got, and it's showing that they're wrong. But what does he say? He says, "The new data does not mean that concerns about climate change are overblown in any way." In other words, doesn't matter what the data actually says.
Right.
You got to stay panicked.
Don't confuse me with facts.
And he says, "It means there is a much larger uncertainty in high mountain Asia than we thought." Now, here's another logical fallacy. Taken globally, all the observations of the Earth's ice, permafrost, Arctic sea ice, snow covers, and glaciers are going in the same direction. So is he either admitting that everything they had before was also showing that there was no significant change, or is he saying, we're going to take everything else that we've built our case on and put it up against the satellite study and basically say that, see, it's a bandwagon effect again. Taken globally, all these other studies are going in the right direction, same direction, he said. Folks, this is a classic on logical fallacies and presuppositional bias at its worst. But the point is, this is the thing that we're making governmental policy and how you live your daily lives, whether or not your electric meters are controlled by the government, what kind of light bulbs you have in your house, what kind of car you can drive. All of these things are being driven by these type of scientists who are wedded to their religious presuppositions. Are we wedded to ours?
And join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.